You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs Podcast.
Hey guys, well, welcome to episode number 52 of the Mundy Maniacs Podcast. My name's Kevin. I've got a broken voice here, but you know, that doesn't stop me from podcasting. I'm joined with, as usual, my partners in crime, Sarah and PJ. Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right, it's episode number 52. Last episode, we had Rob and Lou and the crew all on live from California. That was very neat.
In your car, no doubt, driving. That was a mobile podcast.
A mobile podcast, yeah. But this week, this episode, it's just the three usual suspects. It's us. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Nice. It's nice.
Yes,
I'm in China, but yeah. Not much time left. 2 months.
Woohoo! Like
2 months and 2 weeks, I guess. So, yeah, that's about it. 10 weeks. 10 weeks left, and I'm out of here. And you guys are in Japan. I know with me, I'll start first here. Not big news of anything new happening, but finally my VPN has started working, ExpressVPN. So I have been able to play a bit each day, get some points on the board, just 5,000-6,000 a day. Had a few days of like 9,000. So that's been cool. I've been actually able to go around for the most part, and when I have a little break at work or a little bit of free time after school, I've been able to actually go and cap some things, and that's been... You know,
I have a conspiracy theory. I think your wife has been in contact with the authorities, and she had it shut off, so you'd be home more, and you pay attention, clean up after yourself, things like that. Hey. You've got packing to do. She's getting it done, and now that you're near the end and the plan is in place and everything is moving smoothly, she turns it back on.
I'm home too much.
Yeah, now she wants you out.
I'm in the way. Now she's realizing this guy's in the way all the time, bumbling around, stopping her from like doing the things she wants to do. Maybe. I don't know. So she had the power to turn off the ExpressVPN. That could be a plausible theory, PJ.
I wouldn't call it plausible, but it is interesting.
It is a theory.
In honor of Netflix and wackadoo, did you guys, this is totally off topic, but I just finished watching the MH370 documentary on Netflix. Oh, okay. Do not watch it if you believe documentaries should be about facts. Okay. It's literally three long, boring hours about conspiracy theories that they don't bother to add anything to.
Okay.
But anyway, I just reminded me of this, that I don't know that your wife had anything to do with it.
It's hard to believe
the authorities would help her with this. But, you know, that's the beauty of Netflix, is you can pretty, as long as it's entertaining, you're good.
That's
and
true.
PJ is entertaining. You got to say that. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not boring.
I agree with that.
And speaking of that, Sarah, I believe from what I've heard, you spent the entire day with PJ yesterday. So tell us, part of the day, maybe tell us about you. You guys had an initial plan, right? You guys were going to be doing something yesterday with Munzee, and then the plan changed to something else, right?
That's an accurate description. Thanks. Yeah.
And that's it for the episode. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don't forget to leave a review in iTunes and,
everybody come back. No, so our clan has actually done really well this month, and we decided, we're pretty close to level 5, so let's go for it. And we needed to go get a bunch of urban fits. And there's a couple paths in downtown Osaka near Namba. And so I haven't gotten them yet. And so since it's on spring break, I said, I can go get those. And then bring PJ along, and I was going to deploy some more along the way to add to the trail, and then he could cap them, and then we would be over. So that was our plan. We were going to do it on Saturday. And Saturday, while we or Friday night while we slept, another one of our amazing clan members, he went and got them all for us.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, Over 40, a huge number for one run.
Seriously. He's amazing. Yeah. And so I just decided to save them for the next time we need them. That's the whole adage, right? Do you save stuff for clan or not? But anyways, I saved it. And then I said to PJ, hey, there's that train line filled with virtuals from Osaka way out to past Yao that actually heads towards Nara. And so I said, hey, let's just go do that. And so we did. And it was hot,
a gray, rainy day. So we thought this is a perfect adventure for a train trip. We're just going to go someplace, turn around, come back. That was the original plan. But best laid plans. What did we decide? Just to put this in mind, Yao is a city maybe 20 minutes, 15 minutes outside of Osaka. So it's not far.
No.
But we got there, and then she goes, or we get to the station we're changing at, and we're going, let's just keep going.
Okay. Yeah, let's just. And then he expands the map and he goes, hey, there's a bunch at Nara Station. Let's go get those. But we were sitting down anyway. So we just stayed nice and comfy and chit chatted and got a few virtuals here and there. And we got to the station and just started capping and then walked all the way up to the park, the Nara Park. And we got to the entrance. There's a pond and a nice little entrance to one of the shrines there. And then we turned around and came back. So yeah, it was nice.
For the audience, Nara is a big tourist spot. It was one of the Japanese ancient capitals before Kyoto, before Tokyo or Edo. So it's filled chock-a-block full of tourists and some local players, a group of them that live in Yao and Nara itself. They placed a lot. They're not getting a lot of cap-ons now, but I think now that things are opening up again, I think they'll be in perpetuity. These are mostly virtuals, and they'll be hit a lot. But neither one of us had been out there, and there were hundreds from the station. It's about a 15-minute walk? It's straight. Yeah. A 15-minute walk to the park where the temple and shrine complex is.
Okay.
Full chock-a-block full of foreigners and Japanese. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're ever in the Kansai area, listeners, Nara is worth checking out. Nara.
And we're hoping some of you will be here this July.
Yeah. Why July, guys? What's happening in July?
What is happening? I think there's some kind of big event happening. What could that be? Radio voice.
Somebody finally coming back.
Munzee. Yes, I'm returning to Japan. And so myself and you guys, and there's going to be an event in Osaka Castle Park, which is obviously in Osaka, on the 9th of July, I think, which is a Sunday. And
yes.
So what we're basically saying is, you know, if you come for that big event, there's other things you can do in the area as well, not just on that day, but the whole region, that region of Japan has some real big hot spots of Munzee with real critical masses of Munzee. I think what are some of the really big spots? Obviously, Yao, you've got up in Nara there. You've got different areas of Osaka, Akashi, obviously, where you live, Sarah. Akashi Park is full of stuff.
Ikeda, Kawanishi. We've really grown the map. I mean, Kansai alone, I think we have more Munzee physical and virtual than anywhere else in Asia combined.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Not including Australia. I know that's part of the Asia Pacific, but putting that in the Pacific Island, then in Asia, East Asia anyway. Tokyo's got nothing on us. China doesn't. Taiwan's got an old map. It used to be quite active, but it's not very active these days.
Even Hong Kong, there's some stuff in Hong Kong, but no one has played over there in years. Which is interesting. And even like I'm moving to Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur has a little bit clearly when you look at the different usernames, when they're deployed, who capped them, clearly some tourists who had traveled there maybe were there for a couple of days and deployed, you know, half a dozen each or something. And then, you know, maybe some of the people they were traveling with capped them, and that was about it. No, definitely Japan is very robust for Munzees. Or your region of Japan, I should say.
Yeah. Like a good Merlot.
Yes, like a good Merlot. Robust. Yeah.
The point is, Kale's going to be a happening place next year, I'm sure. Where Kevin's mania goes, the world follows. And I think you're going to see a lot of people post there
Well, I'll be in Penang Island, and that will be the but across from there, there's like a little mainland section near the island. And then, you know, Kuala Lumpur is very close by, so we'll hopefully be spending some weekends there. And
Penang Island is a tourist resort, right? So
big time tourist resort. So it's and as the world is opening, as you're seeing in Japan, there's more and more tourists. You guys were speaking of that anecdotally anyway, like you saw yesterday, a lot of foreign travelers, right?
I was in Namba on Friday night with some graduates celebrating their graduation, and there were more foreign languages than Japanese Friday night. It was, it's a good and bad thing. You know, anyone who lives in a tourist area knows you love tourists because they bring in the money. But it is a large crowds and crazy people on vacation. But it was interesting because I haven't had that experience since before COVID. Just loud, drunken foreigners from all over the world. You could hear English and Russian and German and Chinese, and although not a lot of Chinese because they're still just beginning to get out.
Well, yeah, Sarah and I were talking about that before we started recording. We know that most Chinese travelers actually travel via tour groups, the vast majority. And although individual Chinese people are allowed to travel to Japan, the Chinese government still has not allowed tour groups to book for Japan. So like the Chinese tour companies within China haven't been given permission to organize tours. They have been, I think they were just recently given permission to organize tours for about 40 countries. But when they do, you know, things will get busier and louder where you are. But we're going to be right down when we're staying in Japan. We're going to be right down in the Namba area. I think we would have liked to somewhere a little quieter and closer to my wife's family, my in-laws. But the pickings were slim for Airbnbs. We got what we got, you know. As I say to the kindergarten kids I teach when we're handing out cupcakes at a birthday party, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
I love that. You get what you get and you don't get upset. Wow. That's a good one. Put that on a bumper sticker, Kevin.
Right. I'm sure what's going to happen is like when I'm down there, and we all know, all those who know me know I love my night walks. I like getting up at night and just walking around and taking pictures and playing some Munzee and just listening to podcasts and stuff. But it's probably going to be a lot busier there, I'm sure, in that area than it was a year ago.
Can I say that you inspired me, sir? Yes, I think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I've decided to take on a little bit of that craziness. And I've started night walking during this the holidays. I'm going to try to keep it up once the semester starts. Second week of April, but I go out between 3 and 8 kilometers, depending on how much time I have. And I use a little running app and I just walk, I'll pick a Munzee circuit, and my normal neighborhood circuit is exactly 5 kilometers.
Oh, wow.
And if I add anything to it, I can go up. And I loved your pictures, but you're crazy. But I got to say, there is something about night photography, night walking, especially in Japan. It's so safe, especially for males more than females, I think, because females still have to be careful.
Yeah.
But I think men can walk anywhere in the city in low rent, high rent, doesn't matter. We're largely going to be quite safe. I'm an American. I love my country, but I wouldn't walk at night in the Bay Area in certain places.
Yeah.
Whereas here I can walk anywhere, dark alleys, factory, you know, port area, and for Munzee or any geolocation game, let alone for walking, there's nothing better than the idea of you can just go anywhere and not be worried or concerned.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's what I'm so excited about. I mean, I remember when I left Japan and I moved to Beijing, I'd go for my night walks and it was boring. There was nothing to see where I lived. It was absolute crap in the area where I was in the embassy district, and you'd have like an embassy surrounded by big walls with being eyeballed by police when you walk by. And then there was like really nothing around in between for security reasons. And you'd see like occasional shops and things, occasional restaurants, but it wasn't fascinating like Japan. And that's the thing. I mean, all those little back alleys and nooks and crannies are so cool. And I mean, you're walking down a back alley and boom, there's a shrine that just is there, or a little temple in the middle of like some like really densely populated urban area that you had no idea was there. That's not famous. Yeah. That's not a tourist spot. That is only local people go to and maintain beautifully and is really gorgeous and ornate. And you see those things, and I don't know, like people like that night photography thing. I mean, I know it when I put a picture on like Facebook or something, a picture of like a scene in Japan in the day might get 10 likes or 20 likes, but I put one up of like an alley at night and it's get 70, 80, 100 likes. You know, people just find that really neat. And I do too. I mean, that's why I like it. And I'm excited to just get out there and play Munzee and walk around that way. And with the, as far as like, you mentioned in a message to me and Sarah that you've been leaving the bicycle behind more and going walking for the sake of exercise. I've been leaving my e-bike behind now. I
even more so.
They get no exercise on an e-bike. It just magically pushes itself. But like I find that like I only use it for maybe once a day, once a week. I'll take it to work if I have to get somewhere after work quickly. I got a doctor's appointment or this or that, and I know I got to fly after work. I usually just walk now because I've got a messed up knee. I've tried running a few times over the last year, and my knee just keeps saying no thank you. But I can walk a lot. I can get out and walk a long distance, and it doesn't seem to bother my knee. But if I try to run or use like those like elliptical machines at the gym, like my knee is just like screaming for the next couple of days.
Same here. Yeah.
That's not even a getting old thing. This happens to be a stupid thing. When I was like 26 years old, I was living in South Korea, and I drove a 50cc scooter into the back of a taxi that didn't use its signal light when it turned. And I got a knee injury then, and it's just never gone away.
But here this is your denial, Kevin.
Oh, they're running.
It is an age thing, because you ran marathons. You did.
Damn it. How dare you bring that up?
So, because you know me, it's my time to get you. Yes, you had a knee injury from youth, but you overcame it. And now you've gotten to the point where there is no overcoming age. Damn it. And age will allow any minor injury from your youth to come back and haunt you.
Damn it. Okay. So, guys, listening, PJ did get me there. Because there was a period of vote. There was a period of about 10 years when I was living in Japan where I may or may not have run a dozen full marathons. And an ultra marathon too. Fine. And now I can't run to the bathroom without my knee hurting.
last week of school back in February, we're going up the stairs. Yeah, I see the love that Kevin's given. And the students are going, "What's that clicking?" And they're looking for something in their pockets. I go, "No, that's my knee."
Does someone have a pack of mints in their pocket rattling around?
Thinking, yeah, because we're in one classroom and the projector's not working. And I go, you know, there's an empty room in the two stories above. Let's just go up and we'll use that. Not even ask the school's permission. That'll take 20 minutes. We'll just go up and use it. Let's go. So there's 12 students, 13 students in the class. We're going up the stairs and it's brand new building. So it's, you know, got great acoustics. And they hear a click, 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 click. What is that? I go, "It's my knee, damn it."
Is someone wearing high heels running up the stairs? Nope, PJ's knees.
That would be okay. I would take that rather than the click of one's cartilage, the knees crushing where cartilage used to be. And, you know, it's funny because I love outdoor stuff. I love to do stuff, but I've got one bad ankle, two bad knees, and a bad lower back. But walking is something I can do with the right shoes on. Yeah. It doesn't hurt too much. My feet hurt a little, but it's a good pain kind of thing as opposed to the knee issues.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. There's nothing. And to get out in Japan where, again, you can just walk with, you know, when I'm visiting my family in the Bay Area, I still do night. I go out at night, but you have to, in addition to looking at the Munzee map, I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't want to walk here alone. I'll cross the street over here. I'll make sure that I'm under, you know, where people are around. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And it's still a lovely area. I love the Bay Area. I'm not knocking it, but you've got to take personal safety into account in most places in North America.
Sure.
Which is nice in Japan that you can walk at night and not worry about it. And you know, in the old days, you know, before our smartphones, we worry about getting lost because if you can't find your way back. But again, we're playing a game that relies on a smartphone. As long as the battery or the data isn't all eaten up, you can find your way home. And I like just going. I like just, you know, not even knowing where I'm going. Mario said to me the other day, another casual player, how do you know our neighborhood so well? Because little back alleys, they go, oh, there's a ramen shop right here. He goes, how do you know that? I go, well, that's Munzee.
I'm
going every back alley.
Yep, that happened with me. That happened with me a couple of days ago. I had to take my son somewhere on the e-bike, and I was like thinking of like the best route to take him. And my wife's like, "How do you know about going that way?" I'm like, "Munzee, like I know all the back alleys and all the nooks and crannies." And again, I remember from back in the day when I may or may not have run in Japan at night. May or may not have. I used to may or may not have run around all the little back alleys in like the downtown Kobe. So my wife would be shocked when I'd be like, oh, there's this little restaurant I want to go to here. And I would like go down all these little back alleys and I want to try this place. And she'd be like, how did you ever find this? I'm like, I've run past it like a dozen times. And every time I run past it, it smells really good, you know? And I see a lineup outside and like, you know, that sign in Japan that something must be good when there's a lineup outside. Or at least Instagrammable, I suppose. Yeah. So you guys are planning on doing that 100 Munzee thing again.
Yeah.
Again. Round two.
Yeah, round two.
Tell us about that, Sarah.
Oh, so PJ and I are going to Kishiwada, which is a southern part of Osaka. Again, it's probably about, 20 minutes outside of Osaka on the train, PJ? Is that correct? So. Yeah. It's closer to the airport and PJ's mapped out a nice little route and we should be able, and there's nothing there. So we should be able to knock it out pretty quickly, I think. I mean, 100 is hard. So, I mean, we know the first 50 are easy and then it just gets slower and slower.
Well, you know, if you get 100, if you get like 200 Munzees down there in Kishiwada, doesn't our friend Sarah, our friend Danielle live down there? Maybe we can get her into Munzee.
Maybe we can. That's a great idea. Yeah, so we're gonna do that on Tuesday, and we haven't decided what time we're gonna meet or anything, but we'd probably
It'll
need
have
to start
be early though.
Yep. Yeah, and yeah. So that's what we're gonna do that. And we need to keep reminding ourselves. We were talking about it yesterday. No specials, just flat out greenies, because everybody knows that's the mistake that PJ and I made. So we're gonna knock it out.
And yeah, one thing to remember, when we did it last time, the MHQ day ended at 3 p.m. Japan time. This time it'll be 2 p.m. So we've lost an hour, and we didn't get to 100 until nearly 30 minutes before the deadline. So we're gonna have to go early and knock it out. I do agree we can do it, but there can be no slowing down because we got to get there 8 or 9 o'clock and then just go. And we found that our real problem was lunch because we were doing pretty good until we stopped for lunch. And that's only half an hour for lunch, but after you're walking now, it's a little bit slower. So, but I think we can do it. And we'll just remind, I've written it on a memo that, iCal calendar message to say, no specials. So just remind, no credits. These are just greenies. 100 each.
Leave the inventory alone, just stickers.
Actually, maybe what we should do is we should just throw some onigiris in our bags in the morning and just eat them as we go and not worry about stopping for lunch and just...
Daryl, what is an onigiri?
An onigiri is a rice ball that you can get at the convenience store and then got tons of different flavors, salmon, like smoked salmon inside it, and then it's usually wrapped with seaweed. It's really... If you come to Japan, that's the best thing. You need to go to convenience stores and go to their rice ball onigiri section. Yeah, definitely.
Great,
that is
great for hiking or walking because all the carbs.
Yeah. And very convenient. Yeah, very convenient. Easy to carry with you. Small, like you said, a lot of carbs. Just it's good. Very convenient food. I know we're excited to. I'll be living off of those things. Just because
it's funny, we call them rice balls, but they're normally shaped like triangles.
Yeah, triangles, right?
Yep.
Why don't we say rice triangle? I don't know.
Because that's weird.
Because we want to, because people call the triangles balls. That's why.
Yes, they do.
And that's all there is to it. Well, don't question
it's
this.
It's a rice ball.
It's not our culture.
Because if, you know, when you're at home, a mother usually doesn't really make a perfect triangle like the ones that
you get. Makes it with her hands and makes a ball around shape.
Makes it with your hands and it's usually a ball shape. So
yeah, you're right. Traditionally, when they're homemade, they're different. But yeah, for those people who say, "Oh, I don't want the fish," or they've got different ones, and then
beef ones.
Weird ones and unusual ones. If you just check, there's a whole section and there's 10 different flavors. There's something to suit everybody. Oh, yeah. And the tuna is pretty mild. Even if you're not a normal fish eater, I think you'll like the maguro one or you know, the shui chicken, whatever they call it.
Tuna and mayonnaise, it's just like a regular tuna fish sandwich.
My favorite of all time is the kombu. I love the sweet seaweed inside mine.
You're a strange man.
You're just realizing this now, huh?
No.
You're just restating it.
We're just celebrating the wonder that is Kevin.
The wonder that is my mindness. Well, there we go. There we go, guys. I don't want to keep you guys too much longer, and I've got to get home soon. And I have a very exciting task that I can do later on this morning. I've got to clean a disgusting guinea pig cage.
Ooh.
Woo-hoo, it's Sunday geek.
he's a cute little fluff ball, but he's gross in many ways. But there you go. So I've got that. I've got to take my daughter to a friend for a play date, and it's pouring rain here.
It is here too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had our first rain here in 8-9 weeks, I think, 10 weeks. Yesterday, and it came down in an insane monsoon type rain with incredible thunder and lightning all night long. And then now it's just regular straight up rain, but it's good. I mean, we need it. But yeah, so my son, good old Batman Kai, he's stoked. He's heading out with a friend to go to Taco Bell. And, for those of you listening in North America, you're thinking, But Taco Bell is a new thing. I think there's only one here in the city of Shenzhen, and it's pretty good, actually. It's definitely higher quality than you'd find in Canada, where I'm from. And so his friend has never eaten at Taco Bell. He's born of foreign parents, but has been brought up in China, his friend, so a very third culture kid. And he watches lots of YouTube videos and hears about lots of memes about Taco Bell and has heard all the references, but he's never eaten there. So he's super curious. So my son is going to be going with him this afternoon or this morning. So they're both really pumped about that. And then my daughter, I'm taking her to a friend's house in the rain. Got to throw a rain poncho on her on the back of my little e-bike and go scoot through the floodwaters. And I don't know.
You know, see, that's also age. Kevin, you notice when you talk about Batman Kai, who's young, he's in junior high school now, rain never enters into it, right? Because these are two guys going out, young men in the world, no mention of rain. That's just a thing they'll deal with. But you get to our age, now I'm going, I got to go out and
get my rain poncho.
you're showing your age, sir. Welcome to my world. It's been a decade I've been waiting.
Oh my gosh. Well, there we go. So you guys have Munzee Adventures planned for this week. I don't have like much planned. I ordered my first set of physical Munzees in like 2 years the other day, which is cool. We learned a long time ago that we never get stuff shipped to China because it doesn't get here. It always somehow disappears. So I've never ordered physical Munzees, or I think I have once or twice in all the years. And I think one time it took like, it was many months for them to arrive, because everything just gets caught up in the Chinese customs and then it just disappears. But yeah, so I've ordered some to Japan, to my in-laws. So when I get to Japan, I'll have, and I think I'll have to put in another order before I leave here too. So I have like a big stockpile for the summer. Yeah. Yeah, and that's cool. I'm excited. Yeah. So there we go. Yeah. Well, let's finish. Those of you out there listening, thank you for listening. You know, there are more of you listening all the time, which is great. I appreciate it. I'm absolutely blanking on the username, and I'm sorry about this, but there was a card that was dropped near my place the other day, and it was a username I'd never seen before, and I can't remember right now. Sorry. But it said thank you. It said something about being new to the podcast, and thank you so much for the podcast. So I really appreciated the gift of a card from a listener, especially since my VPN now works and I could cap it.
Yeah. While we're on that, I should say also thank you. Someone capped one of my many cards that I put out for the California Munzee Madness, the mega event that was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I lose track of time now. But, you know, in an event, right? People are blasting or, just hit, tap, tap, tap as they move on. Somebody took the time to say thank you. They recognized my name and said, I listened to the podcast. Oh, wow. Thank to all three of you. And I'm going to do that in an event when you literally have hours of tapping. I really appreciate it. Again, I dropped the name. I didn't recognize it, but someone actually sent a thank you message, for a card, and a card is, we all put cards out, but they recognized my name from the podcast and said they love the podcast.
Oh yeah. And by the way, which is really cool. That is very awesome. And speaking of that event, it was really neat afterwards to see that Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, made a YouTube video about the event. It was really neat for me to hear about it, to have like Rob and his crew sitting in the car after the event. We interviewed them. We talked to them for an hour about things. And then to actually be able to watch Joshua's video and actually see where it was and what it looked like. And to see the cool Munzee shoes he was wearing and all that stuff. It was
Those are some shoes.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to just watch that and see it. So I definitely, when we have our event in Osaka in July, I definitely want to film that and get that up on YouTube to share that experience with people who are listening.
And you've been following Joshua for before you even played Munzee.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been
a
hardcore follower of his YouTube.
Yeah.
Before you even had TikTok and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
We were geocaching days. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I was a big fan of his videos. And what I liked about the geocaching vlogger videos is that they're always very family friendly. So my kids always really enjoy watching them. And I remember that when I was in the early days of COVID, when I'd left Japan and I went back to China and we had to do the 14 days of hotel quarantine, I was quarantined with my then 7-year-old daughter for 14 days. And I remember like one night it was like, well, let's have a big movie night. And it's so funny. We're just stuck there every night for 14 days. But traditionally, Fridays at our house were like a movie night. So she's like, okay, but I just want to watch a geocaching vlogger. And we watched she wanted to watch like 5 hours of geocaching vlogger videos.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it wasn't that many. His videos are pretty short, but we watched a lot of them.
I like his videos, but I'm not doing 5 hours of anybody.
Yeah. But you're also not a 7-year-old. You know, 7-year-olds can do that kind of thing, right? So absolutely. So it's cool to see him making Munzee content now. And I'm hoping once I'm out of China and I can play more regularly and have more interesting things to share, I definitely want to make more YouTube shorts, especially because they get eyeballs on them. YouTube's really pushing the shorts, so they appear a lot in people's faces when they open up the YouTube app. Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, good luck on Tuesday with your 100. Remember, don't deploy any credits. Just greenies.
Just greenies.
Okay. Greenies.
Okay. Oh, she's wearing green. Yeah, for those of you who are just on audio, she's pointing to her green shirt.
Oh, yes. Okay, Sarah, yes, there is.
I'll wear behind us, okay?
She's wearing a green shirt and she's saying greenie. Okay. All right, guys. Well, take care. Everyone, take a look at the links below in the show notes of the podcast if you want to follow any of us on our social media. As all the links are there. And remember, share this podcast with your Munzee friends. Episode number 52 is done. And you too, take care. And yeah, have fun on Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Munzee on.
And watch those knees.
No steps.
Oh, that's a good ending, Kevin. You got to end with that. Watch those knees.